Welcome to The Weigh-In, hosted by Scotty Cash and Jay Ross.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is The Weigh-In, Jay Ross with Political Agenda. This has the potential to be the last one we do for a while, if not ever.
Potential.
So we'll make it a doozy.
Apparently.
A doozy, I says. Anywho, lots of goings on in the world of MMA right now. UFC 122 happened to a universally ugh response. That card was nailed good.
That was the worst free card they've put on in a while.
I don't know. Did you see 120? That wasn't any good.
No, I didn't.
Exactly. And it was headlined by freaking Michael Bisping.
Well, I'm just saying, usually... I did watch 120. I liked 120 decently.
More than this one?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, you know, like sometimes the free cards have better possibilities than the cards you pay for, because there are unknowns that are hungrier and crazy stuff happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes Dan Hardy gets wrecked.
Yeah, that was cool. That alone brings that card head and shoulders above this one.
Yeah.
And the star power was a lot better on that one. I mean, there weren't huge names, but a Dan Hardy, a Carlos Condit, Yoshihiro Akiyama, and a... Michael Bisping are all bigger names than the people on this card.
Yeah, and Bisping Akiyama was a good fight.
Yeah, it was good. We'll go over the quick results for UFC 122. I'm not even going to go over all of them because it was so bad. But Seth Pietrzelli lost again, this time to some guy with a lazy eye.
So that guy was a beast. The guy had to pause that and make the comment, like, you know, so like sometimes you see these fighters and you know, like Joe Lozon.
Yeah.
Right? You see Joe Lozon and you're like, really? That kid's a fighter? You know? And then sometimes you see guys like that cross-eyed caveman that Seth Pietrzelli fought and you're like, well, it was either that or, you know, be a mass murderer. So I'm glad we have the UFC.
Yeah. He actually dropped down from heavyweight, so you can see why. I mean, that guy's just gigantic. You know, it's not overly tall, but really just a big guy.
He was a beast.
He wrecked up Pietrzelli's day. So, again, Pietrzelli's probably fired. Amir Sadala did defeat Pete Sabata via decision. So, Sabata's likely fired as well. Also rounding out the more than likely fired list is Goran Ilić. Started his career hot on an 8-0 streak. Lost the last three. So, Krzysztof Stanczyk probably gave him his walking papers.
Yeah. Hopefully they just go ahead and let Krzysztof go, too, because that fight was not good.
It wasn't terrible. I fast forward. I'm not lying.
Nah.
So more than likely, those three guys will find their way to Strikeforce or Bellator or something.
Yeah.
Dennis Seaver and Andre Winner had the only watchable fight of the night when Seaver caught him with the left hook, stunned him. I thought the fight should have been stopped with the hammer fist he was throwing. I'm like, why
did
that stop this fight?
That fight was
done. Winner's not moving.
They did not want to stop that fight. Like, Winner got knocked out.
Yeah.
He got dropped, okay? And then he jumped on him and starts hammer-fisting, and that ref's just, like, watching him.
Yeah.
And, like, he was not protecting himself. He was not doing anything. So after, like, hammer-fisting him for a little while, finally, Seaver decided, well, I'll go ahead and make him tap. Maybe if I break his arm or something, the ref will stop it, you know?
Yeah,
luckily, he was conscious enough to tap at that point.
Yeah. So that was a fun little quick fight. That did net him the submission of the night. I couldn't tell you any of the other awards because the card was so god-awful there might not have been any. And then the main event for a quote-unquote number one contenders fight for the UFC middleweight title, Yushin Okami did defeat Nate Marquardt in a glorified sparring session.
For real. I don't think anybody even threw a hard punch in that fight.
Well, it's funny. There's a picture online where they're like feet away, and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okami's getting dangerously close to making actual physical contact. the fight just wasn't very good. The third round, apparently Marquardt was like, yeah, those first two rounds are in a bag for me because of my kind of takedown. So he stood there and then got punched lightly in the face for a full 5 minutes. Well, it's funny, Scotty Cash, we were talking about the fight, he's like, I was like, well, the third round clearly went to Okami. He's like, what do you mean? Marquardt had that takedown, like the one where he got immediately back up. You can't count that.
Yeah.
You cannot count a takedown with a guy down for a half a second and gets right back up.
Well, like one of the problems with MMA is you know, they're like, the fans don't really understand the point system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why a lot of times, you know, fans will think that a decision that is pretty cut and dry is controversial when, you know, it's not. Because they don't really understand. And there's no attempt to even, you know, to explain it to them, you know. It's just like, oh, that takedown count. You just hear Joe Rogan go, that takedown counted for a lot, you know.
Yeah, well, in that case, he was like, well, he got right back up, so they can't really count it. Another fight where judging was a little bit skeptical was the Andre Winner versus Nick Lentz fight from, I want to say, 118. It was on the prelims, where literally the entire fight, Nick Lentz hugged his leg, did no damage, maybe got one or two takedowns the entire fight, but won the fight because he stifled him. Like, after holding him against the cage for 10 minutes, I'd have started deducting points. That's why I want to be a judge.
Start deducting.
I'd be worse than Cecil Peoples. How did he score that way?
No joke.
Well, because the guy didn't do anything. I don't count dry humping. John Fitch would never win on my scorecard. I don't care how one side of a beating he gave a guy. I'm like, that was a 10-8 for the other guy.
All of a sudden, all of John Fitch's wins are split decisions.
Yeah. With a 30-22. all right. So that card sucked. Hopefully that'll never happen again. They want to redeem themselves this weekend with a pretty stacked card at UFC 123.
For $50,
yes. Let's see. The last time there was a good...
That's some kind of redemption.
Yeah. The last time there was a good UFC card was probably 117. 118 can get the nod for being pretty good because it had the beating that BJ Penn took at the hands of Frank Yeager. And also had probably the last Randy Couture fight, so... That one could count, though. 119 through 122 have all been terrible. UFC, get on the ball here, guys. So 123 is going down this weekend. Main event of Quentin Rampage Jackson taking on Lyoto the Dragon Machida.
I thought they were doing, like, Randy Couture versus, the discount guy.
Rich Franklin?
Yeah.
No, he's going against Forrest Griffin.
Oh, that's right. That's the fight I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Rampage versus Machida.
This would be a good fight, I think. I hope... stylistically, it doesn't match. It doesn't bode well for Jackson. He's not a wrestler, so I'm not gonna get dry humps. But I see Machida taking this one.
No, this fight. I don't think there's any way Machida could not take this one. I mean, the only way is if Machida tries to fight him or something. I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, one punch can decide a fight sometimes, and Rampage is definitely capable of throwing that kind of punch. However, I just don't see that happening. You know what I mean? Like, Rampage...
Catch him. He's not fast enough. Machida moves so fast, and while he's got a lot of power, Rampage doesn't hit that quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Rampage is pretty obviously doesn't want to fight anymore. Like,
true. Watch the countdowns or any interview he's done. He's like, can we talk about, I don't know, anything else?
Yeah.
A-Team's coming out on DVD, guys. Let's talk about that.
So it's not, you know, he just is like, he's Ultimate Fighter. It's not Ultimate Elusive Guy. Well, if a fighter can't hit him, yeah, it is, you know.
Very true. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about the rest of the card, which includes BJ Penn, Matt Hughes, and George Stotts versus Joe Lozon. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
Back is the way in J-Raz with Political Agenda. Talking all things MMA here on the PopCultureNetwork.com. You used to do a written segment weekly, didn't you? You haven't done that for a little while. What's the deal?
To be perfectly honest, I've hit kind of a dry spot in the couple articles that I've written. I haven't felt up to my standards, so.
Haven't put them on there?
Yeah, it's just been kind of a... I've been a little busy the last couple weeks, too, so I haven't really...
You got a new job, so that's always fun.
Yep.
Good
things. Hopefully, Wrestling With My Sanity will return very soon.
Yeah. Hopefully, also, the Entertainment Center will actually get to regularity as it was supposed to, and that failed immediately. So lots of other podcasts that hopefully will come back and written reviews of wrestling with my sanity. All right. BJ Penn, Matt Hughes, this is the big, they're playing it up like, man, this is a fight long in the waiting and happening and needing to happen and stuff, but it isn't, you know? After the second fight, they weren't going, we need a third right now. No, it's 4 years ago. They're doing this because they needed a co-main event.
Yes.
They're doing this because BJ's coming off two losses and Matt Hughes has got some steam and they're both Nick.
But they don't want to put Matt Hughes against somebody like, you know,
John Fitch or any of the upper echelon guys, because heaven forbid he beat him, he beat one of those upper echelon guys and then need to do a fourth GSP fight.
Yeah.
Because you know it's not going to work out for Hughes? Fighting GSP again.
I don't know. He might surprise you. You know it probably will work out for Hughes, though.
Beating up BJ Penn?
Beating up Koscheck.
True.
Which is probably... Because I'm still calling Koscheck, although I really don't want to anymore. Like, I'm way off the Koscheck bandwagon. But I still think he might have a chance to upset GSP.
No, not having.
Oh, I hope not. I'm going for GSP.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's always this possibility. I think Koscheck has the best possibility of the guys he's fought recently.
True. Who we got in this fight, Penn or Hughes?
I guess I got to go with Hughes.
It's two for Hughes there.
I mean, I'm really like BJ Penn is probably one of my favorite fighters, but he doesn't seem to have it right now.
He's kind of on that not exactly the extreme, but the Rampage Jackson thing where he's like, well, I've done it all, I've been there. BJ Penn's like, yeah, I moved my camp a couple miles away, so I'm fighting with slightly different guys that I'm much better than.
Yeah.
Where like I said, Hughes is on kind of a resurgence. He's crushing guy, or he's having good fights and winning. He looked really good. He seems like he's kind of on a career upswing, where BJ Penn might be on another downward swing. So, I'm going Hughes all the way there. Next up, we have Phil, Mr. Wonderful Davis. They're kind of padding his record because they want him to be a big deal soon. He's going against Tim Bosch, which he should walk right through. Next up is Gerald Harris. He's taking another UFC newcomer, which will be his fourth or fifth newcomer in a row. Against Jose Falco, there's two other names in there that I can't even pretend to pronounce. I'm going to pick Gerald Harris because it's pretty much given. And then the other interesting fight on the card that got the countdown treatment is George Sotiropoulos, G-Sop, is taking on Joe Lo's on. Crazy yeah. Joe.
you okay there?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like your tongue had a seizure while you were saying his name.
Joe Lo's on versus George Sotiropoulos. This should be a really good fight. I don't really...
Sotiropoulos you have no problem with. Lozon, you can't handle.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Just like on WC guy Joseph Benavidez. I can say that without trying. I'm like, Uraha. All right. George Sotiropoulos, Joe Lozon. I got to go Sotiropoulos here. He's been unstoppable in the UFC. He's kind of destined to at least get a title shot next year. Probably be a champion at some point. I just see Joe Lozon being a very exciting fight. This is probably a fight of the night, but I'm going to see Sotiropoulos taking it again.
I got to go Lozon.
Well, Lozon. Give me a reason.
Go Lozon. Well,
because he plays video games?
No, because it's always those guys that you don't see coming that have, you know, I mean, you got somebody who's Sotiropoulos is wrecking folk.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes into this fight looking to do the same thing he's been doing, looking to wreck folk. Lozon is... not been wrecking, but he's got a good record. He's not exactly been wrecking folk. He's got a couple losses, you know, so he looks a little more objectively at things, and he's going to look at Sotiropoulos and go, this guy's wrecking folk. How do I not get wrecked? And he comes to fight Sotiropoulos, where Sotiropoulos just comes to wreck somebody.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I said, you know. Well, I think it's the reason, I mean, you saw... this is the middleweight guy.
And it's Chael Sonnen?
Chael Sonnen. The same reason you saw Chael Sonnen beat Marquardt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because...
True. Yeah, Marquardt was running through folk.
Yeah.
And he comes in there to run through him, and Chael Sonnen's like, not going to happen, sucker.
Yep. I'd say it's the same reason, because BJ was on a pretty good tear of wrecking dudes.
Yeah, he was.
And then Frankie Edgar just had his number twice in a row.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's just the way it happens sometimes.
The reason I'm so pro-Sotiropoulos in this fight is because Joe Lozon... lost to, had his name on hand two seconds ago, Sam Stout.
Okay.
And Sam Stout is not a world beater. So if he can't beat a Sam Stout, I don't think he can beat a George Sotiropoulos.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, your theory is sound.
Yeah.
And by all means, if that's what happens, I'll be like, well, Jaren was 1,000% right. Political Agenda was 1,000% right. And that has to be it. But if that happens, again, I'm going to go stop there.
Yeah.
Hey, he's another guy Phil Davis, where they're slowly building him up to a title shot.
Yep. And we'll see. And I like both those guys, so I think it'll be a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just giving the edge to Lozon.
On Spike TV, they're going to give you two free fights, two actually probably pretty good fights. Brian Foster always comes to bang, who unfortunately last was seen losing to, they might be on a win streak, I don't know, I haven't seen him for a while, forget it. He's going against Matt Brown, another guy who always is in there to bang. Both guys have a loss on their record to one, why can't I think of his name? I'm doing terrible names today. Chris Lytle, Lights Out Lytle. They both have lost via submission to Lights Out Lytle after wrecking Lytle for a good majority of the fight. Lytle come back and submitted them both. So, should be interesting. I'm going to favor Foster. I like Brown a lot. This will probably be his third loss in a row, and it'll probably be wish well in his future endeavors. But, man, I'd like to see him get the win here. Again, I got to pick Foster. What are you thinking?
I'll go with you on that one.
Foster. Next up, Aaron A-Train Simpson coming off his first loss at the hands of Chris Lieben. Going against Mark Munoz, also coming off a loss over Yushin Okami, current number one. Would it be number two middleweight contender, since there already is a number one that hasn't fought yet? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, number two.
I really don't know. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, both guys are wrestlers. Munoz probably has better ground and pound, but I don't know if he'll be able to take him down. Neither guy has great stand-up, so it might be one of those crappy kickboxing fights. But I'll pick Munoz here. I think he's got just enough. He's got a super tough chin. His wrestling's probably just as good, if not a scotch better. So I think he might have more power to take him out.
I can't go against somebody called A-Train.
Weird logic. Pretty sure you're not a huge A-Train the Wrestler fan.
Oh, but I am.
Albert?
You didn't even know.
I didn't. That's a whole new topic to revisit. let's take another quick break. We've got some more Strikeforce, WEC, and other stuff to go over. So we'll be back.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
And we're back.
It is the weigh-in. We just got done talking about UFC 123 this weekend live on pay-per-view. And if you're in the Detroit area, there are still tickets available. Shocking. A place like Detroit, with the worst economy like in the country, can't afford $500 tickets to a UFC event. Weird.
Well, I have no joke for that.
You do have a joke for our next topic, Strikeforce. They have a card coming up in St. Louis, nonetheless, which tickets very much still available. It's going down the 5th of November, December, whatever month we're in. So that's soon, right?
Yep.
All right. headline it. Where's the joke? Come on. They set you up there. Strikeforce having a show.
you set me up, and then you went on into explaining where it's at. And
that's fine.
You just went on to a whole bunch of stuff.
All right, Strikeforce has the next show. How did they get this next show coming about?
Oh, they must have had a good success at the Masaccioli dinner.
Yeah.
There you go.
I knew that Masaccioli dinner joke.
Boom. Right.
Boom. There it is. It's because they suck. and they need to have Masaccioli dinners to raise funding. Anywho, this is Dan Henderson's second foray into the Strikeforce cage. His first one is a very unsuccessful fight against Jake Shields, current number two welterweight challenger for the UFC. He's taking on Hanato Babalu Sobral in a fight that they say will be for number one contenders, even though Babalu already won a number one contender fight, and it gets confusing, guys.
Well, and neither one of them wanted a shot at the middleweight tournament.
Yeah. And what it was, Babalu won the number one contender's fight, but he's like, I don't want to fight my good buddy King Mo. King Mo then lost the title, so now Babalu may go after the title, but he probably won't beat Dan Henderson. It just doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
It's Strikeforce. Like, seriously, their belts are about as impressive as my actual belt holding my pants up.
Well, none of their stars hold their belts. With the exception of King Mo.
Who's not the champion anymore.
Yeah,
you're right. Ronaldo, or Jacare is their middleweight champion. Their lightweight champion is Gilbert Melendez, who hasn't fought in a month of Sundays. Their welterweight champion is a pothead who doesn't fight, in the country at least. Their heavyweight champion doesn't fight ever.
Yep.
So you are not wrong.
Exactly.
So also, on that, I completely don't care. I'm going to say Dan Henderson will win. Man, it's impressive how much you can not care about somebody.
True. I have to go with Dan Henderson, too. I like Dan Henderson. And I always run with the statement that the most famous thing Babalu ever did was get kicked in the head by Chuck Liddell.
He's also already lost once to Dan Henderson, so whatevs. Another fight on the card is Wusuf Wabiwawa. He's going to beat up Matt Lindland, I'm fairly positive. Next up, we got Bigfoot Silva taking on Alistair Overeem's younger brother in Valaginti Overeem? Sure, why not? So that's happened. Paul Daly makes his Strike Force debut, taking on the Hands of Steel Scott Smith. That should actually be a really good fight. Also on the card, Herschel Walker, NFL superstar, and all-around impressive specimen, as he's like 47 years old, will be taking on Scott Carson. I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, he's bigger than throwing to Scott Carson. Ridiculous. No one's ever heard of that guy. He is a journeyman fighter. We'll call him. I think he has a 4-1 record. No one cares. Seriously. They're just trying to get Herschel Walker a win. But last time they tried to do that, Greg Nagy beat up Bobby Lashley. So we don't know where that'll go, but we'll hope for the best. That's going down like 2 Saturdays from now. Again, a Strike Force is on Showtime. Who cares? I'll watch it, though. Who am I kidding? I almost went to that show, but realized that spending money on Strike Force would be ludicrous. WEC has their last ever event coming up in December. I want to say it's the 14th, and they stack that card huge, which makes the UFC using the big stars of WEC take a little longer, but whatevs. Now for the UFC co-ish lightweight championship. I don't even know how to describe this belt, because it's not the UFC, there's not WEC title anymore. It is the UFC lightweight belt, which is currently held by Frankie Edgar. Anyways, basically for the number one contendership for the UFC title, you got Benson Henderson, Smooth Daddy, taking on Anthony Showtime Pettis. This should be a great fight. Both guys are on super win streaks. Henderson's looked unstoppable in his last few fights, and Pettis has looked the same. You also probably, hopefully, saw him on World of Jenks on MTV, which is a very entertaining show. Got to see about him. Pat Barry was on, and who doesn't love Pat Barry? So that should be a fantastic main event. The co-main event is for the UFC Bantamweight Championship. Current WEC champion Dominic Cruz looks to gain the first ever UFC Bantamweight Championship when he takes on Scott Jorgensen. Scott Jorgensen on a roll. He looked good in his last few fights, obviously, as has Dominic Cruz. The winner of this will take on Uriah Faber. Just because Uriah Faber is the biggest name, and by golly, he needs a championship. Never mind the fact that he's 3-3 in his last 6 fights, and that is not a win streak. He's 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one. But he just beat up Takeya Mizugaki. So by all means, title shot for him. Also on the card, you got Donald the Cowboy Cerrone taking on Chris Hordecki. Should be a really good fight. Jamie Varner is going to take on Shane Roller in another fantastic bout. Both guys, striker wrestlers, so it should be good. Cerrone, I'm going to see picking up the dub in his fight against Chris Hordecki. Do I see Jamie Varner winning? Rounding out the main card is going to be Brad Pickett taking on Ivan Menjivar. No idea. So let's pick Brad Pickett there because I've heard of him. I'll go back up to the Dominic Cruz, Scott Jorgensen. I'm going to say Cruz takes it. Probably via decision, because I don't think he beats too many people in any other way. He's got a lot of herky-jerky style to him. But I do see Cruz taking that one and going on to probably lose to Uriah Faber because he's the only one who's ever beaten him anyways. And then Ben Henderson I see winning that fight as well. So that's my last WEC ever. Have any thoughts on that show?
The WEC?
The very last event ever.
Who cares?
He cares about as much as I care about Strikeforce. Which is shocking because when Strikeforce first was doing big things, I'm like, yeah, Strikeforce, what? And I'm like, man, I don't care.
You were excited about WEC for a little while.
And now it's the UFC.
Now they're the UFC.
I was trying to figure out how to describe what the main event will be, because it's for the lightweight championship, which is not going to exist. So technically, this is the number one contender's bout for the UFC title to merge two championships.
I don't know if I'd say that. It's almost like in the WWE, like the Money in the Bank.
It's like for the guys, Money in the Bank.
Well, these guys, you know, these guys aren't exactly top contenders, and they're not going to be top contenders after they lose their title shot. But you know, whoever wins this fight is going to get a free title shot, basically.
That is the best way to describe this ever. So from now on, whenever I talk about the WC's last show ever, Benson Smooth Henderson will be taking on Anthony Pettis for the Money in the Bank title. Awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add about the Strike Force show? You didn't get cut off. We didn't get to talk about Paul Daly versus Scott Smith, which would be good.
No, it won't.
They both stand up and fight.
They both stand up and fight, but, man, Scott Smith's tough.
Man, you're not wrong. Seriously. He gets, like, three amazing knockouts in his career, and everyone's like, that guy's good. No.
No.
He hits hard, and occasionally it lands.
He's like the Strike Force Dan Hardy.
Wow. Although Dan Hardy sucks worse. That guy wasn't overhyped to the extreme.
The only reason you say Dan Hardy sucks worse is because he got a title shot against GSP.
And then got wrecked. And two of his wins of the four that he got to the title shot were by split decision over Marcus Frickett Davis, who's now a lightweight, and Akihiro Gono, who doesn't fight there anymore. Split decision. Not everyone agreed that he won. So... we're running way out of time. Hope you enjoyed what might be the last weigh-in ever. I'm going to hope to find a way to keep doing them. If you have any questions or anything, please email or comment or whatever. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your weekend. See you next time.